Hey, we sounded good.
We did.
Welcome to another iteration of Behind the Beard. Today I'm joined by my co-hosts, Derek Green, Carson Jones, and the board man, Lewis Anderson, who hit record this time.
There you go.
Guys, how y'all doing this week?
We're good. It's obvious that Lewis is a little bit rusty after, you know, missing some podcasts.
He takes like four to the last six off.
It happens. We just recorded 15 minutes. Oh, wait. No, none of it was recording. Lewis was like, hey, guys, we need to stop. Like, stop what? There's nothing being recorded.
Oh,
so we're
gosh.
Back. We're going to try and do this again. Let's do it.
Man.
But Derek just alluded to Lewis is back. Lewis.
Finally.
Lewis has been here. Once a month is Lewis's appearance.
Yeah, once a month.
The road warrior this last month, but it's going to come to an end.
At least he joined in by phone last week.
Yeah, it was cool.
And that was very cool.
It was cool, but it was difficult because I was a little bit delayed, so it took me a minute to respond.
But it sounded good. It sounded pretty good
when
we listened to it.
Yeah, for sure.
So
what did y'all think about college football this last weekend? I got to tell you, State did not lose this week.
Good for you. Who did you guys play?
They also didn't play.
You know what sucks? Last week when the Cowboys played or didn't play, they still lost. You see that meme?
I saw Florida State look good this on the way. They lost to Miami.
Yeah, we lost.
Didn't even cover either.
Nope. Well, we suck.
Yeah, they were not good.
What was their initial ranking?
A five.
Yeah, they were top 10. I think we were
fifth.
Probably so.
You would have to imagine after last year, like they should probably still make the playoff, right? Is that what their fans think?
That's what
I hear they're suing the NCAA to include all 100 and how many ever.
Yeah, they want another expansion. They want to expand to
all of them,
to every team.
Who did they beat? That's who I need to know. Who did they beat?
I can't remember.
Was it
Memphis?
No, they lost to Memphis. Norvell's.
They beat Duke, right?
No.
They lost to Duke.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. I want to say it was an FCS school that they beat.
It might have been. Yeah.
I want to say it was.
It might have been a high school team. They have like a scrimmage or something.
I think so.
Belgrade Central.
They would probably lose that game.
Yeah, they probably would.
I don't know. I don't know if they play Providence Day or Weddington or Raven Gap. I'm not
Who
sure.
Wins?
I think I'm hammering Raven Gap.
Florida State still wins.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
What about some NFL football? Did y'all see the Bears game, Carson?
Next subject, please.
It was such a good ending.
It was fantastic.
I'm sure everybody's seen the clip now of the defensive back taunting the fans. It's just one of those things. This is just it really in that, 10 seconds. I was on the phone with my little brother during the last drive. And
is your brother also a Bears fan?
He is also a Bears fan.
Okay.
And he was like, Carson, you know what's going to happen. I was like, no, Landon, there's no chance it happens. And then the Bears did the thing where they put all their guys at the, like, there was 15 seconds left, and they were on, like, the Commanders were on their own 35. And so the Bears pulled everybody. You could see Caleb Williams being like, guys, guard the sideline. They had no timeouts left. Mm-hmm. Well, we just let them get a 15-yard, 20-yard out perfectly. I mean, just, like, there was no one within 20 yards of them. And next thing you know, that puts them up to the 40, 45-yard line, 50-yard line. Jaden Daniels throws a 60-yard. The guy taunting the stands actually tips the ball back to the Commanders player. It's just, what a day to be a Bears fan.
Does it make you feel better the Dolphins also let, their opponent drive the field and kick the field goal for the win? We're terrible.
But the 49ers didn't, so good week.
Yeah,
49ers played the Cowboys, but
Derek, who do you pull for?
I kind of like the Dolphins just because Tua.
He's an Alabama fan.
I watch college way more than I watch the NFL.
Okay.
Have y'all watched any of the World Series? I know it's tough for a Carolina fan to choose between the Yankees and the Dodgers. I mean, they're all bandwagon guys. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm pulling for
exactly.
I don't know.
as a Braves fan, I got to pull for the Yankees.
Yeah, you can't pull
what?
For
you got to pull for the Dodgers. I got Freddie.
I hate the Dodgers.
I saw something that said you know, the most teams have like farm systems. Like the Dodgers and Yankees actually have like the major league as their farm system.
Yeah, 100%.
So if you like look at it, it's like 5 years ago, this was just the All-Star game.
Yeah, it really was.
You've got Mookie, Freddie, you've got all these guys. You've got Stanton.
Ohtani.
Yeah, Ohtani was with the Angels. Glaber was a Cubs guy. I mean, all these players, Garrett Cole, I wish more than anything that the Cubs would just pay for a championship. Because I
better say, there's not a cap. in MLB,
no, there's
right?
No cap. No, it's all...
no. So you can you could actually go out and pay for the best roster in the major leagues.
Well, that's what the Braves did. It didn't work out.
Yeah, it did not.
The Braves, I mean, they had a lot of injuries, though.
Yeah, they did.
They still got a World Series.
They did in COVID when we played 25 games or whatever it was.
No, no, the Dodgers were the COVID champs.
It was the next year.
21.
Next
year. It was a full year.
Okay.
Uh-huh. The Dodgers have the Mickey Mouse ring.
The Mickey Mouse ring. Of course, because that's where Disney.
Yeah, they all played.
Is it Disney World or Disneyland?
It was
Disney
World.
Florida. Disneyland is in California. But okay. I think they played the World Series in Texas or somewhere like
they
that.
Did,
but
yes. In that goofy field.
Yeah.
I wonder, so they didn't play at the Astros. They played at the Rangers, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, because the Astros, I'm sure the trash cans would have been banging.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
So.
Guys, did you see the picks for this last week?
Someone says we know ball.
We
ball
may numbers. All have finished over 500 for the first time ever.
First time.
So this week, Carson and Mike 7-2, Pat and Derek 6-3, and Lewis 5-4. So Derek takes another one game lead.
Just one game though.
Just one game, and Owen, you know, they covered for you and didn't covered for you and didn't cover.
That was close. We need one more touchdown there.
I know.
If Carson would have stuck with his guns and picked Asheville and Christ School, he'd had a perfect week. But he blew it.
I thought those were your guys.
Well, you know what's
they're not really his guys. It's all
faded Asheville and Christ School, and those are. I mean, everybody knows I would pull for both of those teams. And so it's just very, very tough. If I would have just stuck with my guns, I could have went 9-0.
How many weeks this year have you had faith in Asheville and picked them?
Zero.
Zero.
I've picked Asheville.
Maybe so once.
Everyone knows that I pull for those guys.
Yeah, I mean, Carson's not
I
a big
thought you were, well, we'll get to it, but you're a Robertson guy first.
Oh, for sure.
Asheville is winning the conference. I'm getting a T-shirt from the team, and I'm wearing it to every podcast.
Hot take. Hot take from Carson.
I don't think it's that hot.
You picking Asheville this week?
We'll get to it.
So I'll give you the standings real quick. Derek has a lead, 36-26. Lewis is at 35-27. I'm one game back from that, 34-28. Pat, 32-29. Carson's almost a 500, guys. 29-33.
Speaking
another
of
good
hot,
week, you can get a 500.
Speaking of hot, someone's warming up.
Look out, boys.
Woo.
Are you gonna make the biggest comeback ever and take the thing?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go last in all the picks, and I'm gonna have to go against every because there's not that many. There's just not that many games left. So I will be going last on all the picks.
You gotta pick up 7 just to tie.
Thank you. I'm not looking to tie. Okay. I got to pick up 8.
All right.
He said, I'm looking to win. I had a race this weekend. 300-lap race. Lap 4, my guy gets wrecked. Guy just drives right through him, running 10th. I'm like, come on, man.
Did you enjoy watching the rest?
Well, we finished the race.
Oh,
I said, he just drove through you. So there's a video on Racing America of my driver shooting the other guy, bird. Shooting him a bird. I'm like, that's my guy right there.
That's my guy.
Yeah, so we drive back through the field to finish 3rd. About halfway through, I'm like, you're going to get a good run out of this. Just keep digging. He says, I'm not here to have a good run. I'm here to win. All right. Yeah. Well, let's have a good run first. So we finished 3rd. It was a fantastic weekend.
That's awesome.
So you guys want to talk about the standings real quick?
Let's do it.
Can we also mention, did anybody see, before we get to the standings, the concert for Carolina?
Oh, that was cool.
I was actually racing. I did not see it, but I think everybody else saw it.
It was
you can go back and rewatch it. I believe it's online, but talk about an awesome event that was put together by some very, very influential people. I think they had raised $24 million by the end of the concert. They all said they were not stopping. Marty Mush, Kayla Presley, Reynolds graduate, got up there. There were some big, big names performing. There was people, they've spent time in Craigtown. They've spent time in Swannanoa. It's just what an awesome event. And they said, they're big. They've talked with all these locals, and everybody's concern was, the supplies are coming in, but, are people going to forget about us in a couple months? Because this is not going to be a couple month rebuild. And,
right.
And all, every singer, everybody there, shout out to the Teppers. I know that the ownership at Carolina has been, hot. A lot of people are mad at them with what they've done with the product on the field. They donated the facility for free. Shout out to them. Just an awesome event. I advise everybody to go back. And I'm sure people saw clips of it and whatnot, but it was pretty special.
How many Reynolds graduates they have on there?
Three altogether.
Yep, three all together. Luke's jersey was up on stage. Yep. Nice. He said, it was funny. He said, this is not game worn. This is practice worn. he said, I didn't see the game. I didn't see the field. This is practice worn. But I did see there was a...
Chase Rice was a really good football player.
Yeah, he was a stud.
Chase Rice.
He played at Carolina.
Who was his brother that was good?
Was it Chad?
No. Is it Chad? There's another Rice. He was really good as well.
Did you guys see Chase?
One went to Duke, one to Carolina.
Did y'all see Chase spent the day with Coach Craig and his wife?
Yeah.
Did you see? He was wearing a Britton Tilson hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Billy drove him around, drove him up there, and kind of showed him everything that was going on.
Just awesome. Our hearts still go out to everybody that's affected. And we understand this is going to be a long, long rebuild, but we're glad that there's people. This just shows there's good people out there pulling together.
Yeah, for sure.
Indeed.
You know, Carson, talking about people that help and restore the community and everything, a big shout-out to Operation Love and Hope to rebuild youth baseball out there at Owen Valley. They have committed to restoring two of the fields out there. As you know, the Owen community lost all their baseball fields, and these guys have stepped in, and they're going to help out rebuilding two of the fields.
So let's talk about last week's games, then we'll talk about the standings, and then we'll talk about our Pat polls. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I'm ready.
So game one, Owen at Mitchell. Mitchell was a 43.5-point favorite, but Owen covers 45-6. Mitchell wins, but Owen does cover. Quarterback Caleb Cook for Mitchell was 5 of 10 for 106, a touchdown interception. And running back K-A-J, would that be Cage? Cadge? What do you think?
Cadge,
I guess. We'll go with Cadge Pittman. He had 16 carries, 131 yards, and a touchdown. They rushed for 254 yards as a team. Lewis, no stats for Owen. What can you tell us about the game?
Well, first of all, I'm pretty sure it's the worst umpiring crew out there, including a girl that's banned from doing Owen games, but, you know, whatever. It's the same one that you had at Christ School.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. You seen her in the picture today. Anyway. Two inadvertent whistles that would have been turnovers for us. And the white hat admitted it to our coach. Like, come on. But not taking anything away from Mitchell. Devastation all around that field. But they're still playing on it. They had the National Guards up there watching the game and stuff. Really cool atmosphere. If no one's ever been up there, they do the walk through the forest. Yeah. Well, the forest is basically gone. Every tree up there is topped and there's trees laying down. They were still able to do their walk through. They cut a trail, but... the game was awesome. Mitchell's offensive line, huge. Basically, their whole game plan, we're just going to take this pocket and move it. And whenever there's an opening, the running back's going to squirt out. Mm-hmm. So that's their whole game plan. They played defense okay. We were able to do some stuff. Steven scored a touchdown. That was our touchdown, which was cool. Austin had a fumble recovery. A huge plays by Burpo out there. But tough game. It was a tough game. We knew it was going to be tough going in. But Owen did pull it together at the end and covered.
So they were a great team.
They covered.
Yep, good teams win, great teams cover.
So the Citizen Times reported you were on a bye. Can you confirm you were actually at the game?
I sent you guys a picture today. We were definitely there. It was funny. I went to the beach last week, didn't get no sunburn. Got a little sunburn on Saturday. It's almost like being at a youth league game again.
I reached out to the ACT for comment about why they said Owen was at a bye week. They did not return.
I mean, that's the second week in a row they didn't comment back to you.
No. Yeah. So next up,
somebody does get paid for this. Not us, but somebody does.
Somebody does, not us. Next up, we have Asheville. By the way, Carson, Pat, Lewis got the Owen pick correct. Next up, we had North Buncombe at Asheville. Asheville wins 67-0. What did Carson say about this game last week?
I think there's just enough look ahead to where I think Asheville wins this game by 37-43. I don't see it getting to 44. I'm going to go with North Buncombe and the Blackhawks.
What did Mike say about this game? I want to first apologize to all the Asheville coaches that Carson doesn't believe in. Yes, that's right, because Asheville wins 67-0. Meek Slidell, 8 of 9 for 248 yards, 2 TDs. Josh Ellis rushed four carries for 99 yards. Four.
What's his average?
That's almost 25. Two touchdowns.
24.8.
And Caden Ray had four catches for 142 yards and two touchdowns. Asheville gets the win by a lot.
Yeah. So I was
Pat Lewis, Derek, Mike, all got this one correct.
In a way, I was right. I said I don't see it getting to 44. You know why? Because it got to 67. Yeah. So that's what I get for picking North Buncombe.
That's unreal.
I mean, that's just, it was 54-0 at halftime.
That's your boys.
I heard from a very reliable source. Yes. Very close. It's very close to North Buncombe field. Could have been 150-0.
Oh, I believe it.
So one of the parents also texted me, and he was like, listen, there's no spread on this. We could have scored 100 points easily.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like we've always talked about. It's like, how much time does it allow? Yeah. It's like, how much time? But I think the Asheville guys took it personally that I love, you know, I love providing any motivation that I can.
Yeah, I don't know that you love the coaches over there, but you do love providing motivation.
No, I do love the coaches. They know that.
Hopefully the kids are playing this like during practices, workouts.
I
mean,
I got an offer to pass list after Derek.
Yes, but have you gone yet?
No.
Okay. No. All right. So
I was going to the Irwin game, and that game got banged by a hurricane.
Yeah. Likely excuse.
Yeah, good excuse.
So next up, we had Metrolina at Christ School. Christ School's first game back, guys. Christ School, a 9.5-point favorite. They win 31-3. Holtzclaw was 11 of 20 for 153 and a touchdown. Jackson Cancel, 13 carries, 125 yards, two touchdowns. He also had two catches for 36 yards. And Jordan Edgecombe had eight tackles, one forced fumble, and he rushed for a touchdown.
Mm.
At halftime, I text you guys and said, Kreiskel's not going to cover.
Yeah. But, I mean, right away, third quarter, you guys pulled it out.
Third quarter, we kind of turned it on. Yeah. It was a good game to come back to. It allowed us to get a higher seed in the playoffs. And it was good to get a win. It's been 2 months since we won. It's 1 month since we played, and then we lost four in a row before that. So it's nice to get a win.
At least it ain't been nine.
And not just a win. I mean, it was a dominating win.
It was. So, Metrolina, they run a unique offense. Everybody's in tight. One receiver out. They want to snap it, and the quarterback turns, and he's going to either hand it to the receiver, to the running back, or the receiver coming in on a jet sweep, or he's going to run it. And we were much bigger than they were up front, and we were able to take care of business. Yeah. That was the difference.
I saw you sent a clip in the group chat. I don't know if you guys remember the jacked up segment on Monday Night Football, but what was the kid's name, Mike?
So Cash Freeman.
Man.
He's an offensive guard, and he pulled on a play and hit the DN, and he knocked him out cold. Cold.
Nighty-night.
And he immediately hit him, and he's calling for the trainer because he said his eyes rolled back in his head. I mean, it was like he literally jacked him up. It was insane.
That would definitely be on the Monday Night Football segment if it was still going on. I think it's non-PC now to say that somebody got jacked up, but we can do it on here.
Got jacked up. Pat Lewis, Derek, Mike got this one correct. Carson did not roll with these guys. So. Next up, we had Smoky Mountain at Tuscola. Tuscola does cover. Pat Lewis, Derek, Mike, get this one correct. Smoky Mountain wins 21-16. They were a 6.5-point favorite. For Smoky Mountain, Jerick Jones was 7 of 10 for 86 yards and a touchdown. He also rushed it 15 times for 117 yards and another touchdown, while Aiden Johnson rushed it for 96 yards and two touchdowns. For Tuscola, Jet Barley was 19 of 26 for 165, a touchdown and an interception. Gavin Langley rushed it 10 for 52 and a touchdown, and Walker Bolden had 17 tackles.
Wow. Well, I can tell you, I'm actually the only person that got this correct. Even when I get it correct, won't give me credit.
Oh, gosh. So, you're right. So. Carson got this one correct. Smoky Mountain actually got the win here.
Yes, Smoky Mountain got the win.
I got this one totally backwards, and I meant to fix it. You're right. Mountain, Tuscola was a 6.5-point favorite. Smoky Mountain got the win.
Yep.
And Carson picked Smoky Mountain.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, they're just picking some dogs last week.
Gritty.
Gritty. It's so nice just seeing that there's only a C next to the next
just
to
a C.
This is the first time this has happened this year.
Ball knower.
Ball knower. Actually, I was really just trying to pick up a game, and I'm like, I'm definitely going to finish last anyway, so I might as well risk something.
What did Pat say about the Tuscola game?
Yeah, echo. I'm all in with Tuscola. Let's go. Let's roll.
He was wrong.
He was wrong.
All in, let's go. I mean, that's just Pat. Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness.
I had to go to Pat's house today to put his trash cans back in his house. He took the maintenance guy there at his house on vacation with him.
He took the butler?
The butler, the maid, and the maintenance guy for the lawns.
Wow. What's crazy is just like we've not brought up to our listeners where Pat's at. And it's like Pat is somewhere long, far away.
He's on a fantastic vacation with all his servants.
It's a private yacht, right?
It's a private yacht.
I heard Pat's on a large boat.
What is it, like 12 stories?
It is. 12-story private yacht with all the people that work for
him. You say it had three pools?
He also took Brendan. Guess who he did not take?
Oh, he didn't take Charlie?
Charlie,
his
daughter? He never takes his daughter, Charlie. Wow. She's really like a second-class citizen when it comes to Pat.
But he took Brendan?
He definitely took Brendan.
Who's Charlie? Who's Charlie?
That's his
exactly.
Daughter.
Oh, exactly.
Dang it. Dang. I'm just friends with Pat on Facebook and the podcast. I didn't know he had a daughter.
Oh, man.
So that's going to get me in trouble.
Next up, this is probably the game of the week right here. Mm. West Henderson traveled to Franklin. Franklin was a 13.5-point favorite. Derek's been singing the praises of Franklin all year.
Yeah. Teams just don't go down into Franklin and win, much less cover. Or cover, much less win. I like Franklin big.
Well, West Henderson won the game 31-28. Guess who got this one right? Carson and Mike. You know why? Because we trust West Henderson. They're the conference champs over there.
just because he talked to their coach?
They're the defending conference champs.
They are.
The defending, until someone dethrones them. All year we have been saying that no one was going to go undefeated in this conference, me included. And they have just beat Pisgah, Tuscola, and Franklin within 14
What are the two games they have left?
They have Smoky Mountain at home and then at East Henderson.
If they take care of Smoky, they're going to be undefeated in the conference.
Yeah, they're going to be. You know, that at East Henderson is that's a spot. That's a spot where they could get. That's a trap game where they could get 50 and really blow up some numbers. But
I got a stat for you. Yeah. So West Henderson has had six straight one-score games, and they've won the last four. Six straight.
That's finding a way to win. And, you know, that's kudos to them. Like I said before, you know, you just don't go into Franklin and win. And to do that and win the way that they did with the last second field goal.
Goal, yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a football game and a gritty win that they can hang their hat on going into the playoffs.
Well, we were talking about it on the group chat. Like, Wes is installing that new offense this year, right?
It's a couple years.
Yeah, they've had the offense. But
so for Franklin, Brent... Braden Hervey had 27 carries for 209 yards and two touchdowns. Had a big game. Carson, do you have the West Henderson stats? I think you talked to one of the coaches today.
Yeah, so shout out to them for helping us out with some of their stats. They weren't posted on Max Preps yet when we were trying to get this together. But Cade Young was 26 for 36 for 328 yards, three TDs, and one interception. Zay McGraw was 19 carries, 103 yards with a touchdown. Dazion Murray, 11 carries, 38 yards. They had a couple receivers. Asa Osman with six catches for 130 yards, 31 yards, one touchdown. Tyler Nash, eight catches, 64 yards, one touchdown. It just goes back to, you know, I think Coach Whitaker mentioned it in the interview that, you know, what Truitt was able to do with this team and how so many guys looked up to him with his work ethic and whatnot. And all of our questions this year was, you know, they don't have that play that they can just circle and, hey, let's get the ball to 10. You know, this is the Madden play. Let's just run this on repeat. You know, I think that everybody's been wondering, like, you know, when is Cade going to step up and put the team on his back because he's been able to have Truitt. And they've always had that great rushing attack. I mean, I think we should all give some credit right here to Cade. 328 yards at Franklin in a game that, you know, going to probably decide the conference championship. What an outing by him. And it just shows that they're, you know, Wes Henderson can rush the ball, but now they're showing they can also pass the ball. So
absolutely.
So it's just one of those things that, you know, maybe they got, you know, used to winning last year, and these kids, like, that's just all they know. It's all these close score games. Yeah. Like, there's value in the team knowing how to win.
They lost the two games they lost. Obviously, we talked about one score games, and they were against good teams. I mean, they lost to Irwin
and Murphy
and was it Murphy or yeah. Mount Heritage?
Murphy.
Murphy.
30, like 33-31.
And Murphy's won their conference already. They've already clinched the yep. conference. Irwin is going to win the MAC conference. So, I mean.
There's that hot take.
We all know how Mike feels about Irwin.
Irwin, so. You see Irwin play? I'm telling you. Anyway.
When you talk to the coach 6 days a week, you're going to love him.
We're oh. pals. We're pals.
But no, that's
great win for Wes Henderson.
Awesome stuff.
I think
Wes.
Surprise. Carson Mike, of course, we nailed it. The rest of you bozos missed it. So next up, we had East Henderson at North Henderson. North Henderson, a 17.5-point favorite. They win 44-8. Carson Lewis, Derek Mike, get this one correct. No stats on this game. North Henderson gets the win.
I think North probably had a little bit more stats than East.
Yeah, and East played, you know, two games this week. We'll get to the first game that they played in a second.
The other game they played was Pisgah. Pisgah at East. We all got this right. Carson, Pat, Lewis, Derek, Mike. 35.5-point favorite for Pisgah. Pisgah wins 49-6. Aaron Clark was 16 of 21 for 196 yards and four touchdowns. He also rushed it seven times for 64 yards. Landon Pope, 18 carries, 113 yards and two touchdowns. And wide receiver Kenyon Moore had seven catches for 102 yards and two touchdowns. Pisgah blows out East. No surprise there.
Yeah, Pisgah's they're trending up after losing to Wes Henderson a couple weeks ago. You know, the two losses that they have are to, you know, two great teams in Western North Carolina and Brevard and Wes Henderson. So, you know, they're going in the right direction.
Any team like East that has – it's probably not got as many numbers as these other teams. I mean, two games in a week has got to be tough.
It's tough.
So, we do know – I mean, East beat North Buncombe to start the year.
I'm sure East is very thin as well. They're probably not loaded on both sides
right.
of the ball.
Correct. And so, it's just one of – you know, East is probably doing the very best with what they've got. Unfortunately, they just ran into two teams that they just didn't have enough for.
So next up, we had McDowell at Irwin. Irwin, a 42.5-point favorite. Irwin puts up 63-12. Carson, Pat, Derek, Mike, get this one correct. Lewis, you picked McDowell?
I picked McDowell, remember?
On purpose? Were you asleep or something?
It was the mindset.
Okay. Mm. Caden Engle was 17 of 20, so he only had three incomplete passes. 212 yards and a touchdown. Milky Ray is back. He had 10 carries for 114, three touchdowns. Lawson Reynolds had seven catches for 114, and Dawson and Holder had six tackles apiece to lead the defense.
Wow. Milky Ray coming back for them is a huge, huge boost for Irwin, and especially, you know, to kind of get him back a week or two before they play Reynolds, you know, next week.
Listen, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But, you know, I think we all anticipate that being the one for all the marbles, you know, barring anything crazy happening in Reynolds-Asheville this week. So
something crazy may happen.
It may, you know.
Irwin has a couple of the bottom part of the conference before they play Reynolds. So I think that helps them. Reynolds has TC, Asheville, Irwin. Irwin has what?
They've had McDowell, North Buncombe this week, and then Reynolds.
And then Reynolds. So it's almost like a week off.
I mean, it's definitely a bye week for them. Yeah, which I mean,
they get out there and get a little practice. Yes. Hopefully no one gets hurt they're ready for Reynolds.
Yeah.
We probably don't have the clip for it, but let's go back and listen. I think Carson did predict it's like Irwin's getting to 60 points here.
No, yeah. we don't have that clip.
No, we don't have that clip. But I definitely
you did not predict they got to 60.
I definitely predicted they'd get to 60.
I think if we don't have the clip, it didn't exist.
Yeah, no, it never happened. We got one more game to go, okay. But the phone's ringing. Hang on, let me get this.
Coach Pruitt, you heard it.
We got TC and Reynolds. Who's calling? Hello? Who is this?
Hey, this is Pat Pohl. I'm calling from my plane at 30,000 feet.
We want to welcome Chris St. Ange, the general, to the show. Chris, welcome to the Behind the Beard podcast.
Man, it's an honor and a pleasure. It's good to talk to you guys.
So, TC at Reynolds. Reynolds was a 4.5-point favorite. Reynolds wins 27-10. Max Guest was 7 of 10 through the air for 64 yards. He rushed it 14 times for 76 yards and two touchdowns. Ty Patterson had 12 carries for 123 yards and a touchdown. Reynolds only punted one time in this game. Chris, you were there. You're the co-voice of the Rocket live stream. What did you see?
Well, you know, it was an interesting game there for the first half. you know, possessions were really limited. You want to talk about only punting one time? I mean, I think the total passing yards, I think TCR had 17, and I don't even know what Reynolds had, 64. So clock was running quick. Again, limited possessions, and, you know, ACR had a good opening drive, went down, stalled out on fourth down. I thought Laws was going to go for it, but they were like, man, we can't hold the ball for 7 minutes and not get points. So kicked the field goal. TCR matched it. And the best drive of the game for TCR in the second quarter, fueled by that one pass they had for 17 yards. The other two passes that they had actually, I think, went for 0 yards. So it was the lone positive pass play of the game. Really set them up for that touchdown right before the half to go up 10-3. So, you know, we thought we had a ball game there going into halftime.
So at halftime, like you mentioned, Robertson up 10-3. You guys had to be a little nervous.
Yeah, you know, it was a possession type game. It looked like, you know, it was going to be whoever made a mistake. And you know, great coaching in the locker room at halftime. Reynolds couldn't have drawn it up any better. They come out, they get a stop, and it was actually a broken play. Patterson actually, you know, was trying to go left and he reversed field, and Max Guest just had a great block setting him up on the edge on the far side, and he was able to break loose for that 45-yard touchdown. You know, even the score at 10-10, so things were looking up for the Rockets. And then on the ensuing kickoff, Robertson fielded it at the one, tried to kind of cut across the field and fumbled and turned the ball over and gave it to the Rockets at the one-yard line. So in a matter of 40 seconds, the Rockets scored, got a fumble on the one-yard line, and then Max Guest punched it in from 2 yards to give the Rockets the lead.
So what's your thoughts, Max Guess at quarterback? What's that looking like versus Hemric at quarterback?
You know, is that a lot of running the football. In the second half, Pat and I actually were like, are we even going to see a pass in the second half? And we did not until we saw a shuffle pass from Max Guess, you know, for, I don't know, 4 or 5 yards. But that was the only pass attempt, I believe, in the second half. It'll be interesting to see when they've got to throw the ball, if Reynolds does get behind a little bit late in the game, if they're going to have that that offense to maybe come back, and that's what TC lacked in this ball game. They'll go down, and then Reynolds put another drive together. Max scored on a 30-yard run, and you know, it was evident that TC just didn't have the offense to come back. Yeah, I don't think they attempted a pass even down 14 points, you know, in the fourth quarter. So. It'll be interesting to see what the Rocket passing game looks like when they actually have to throw football.
Yeah, Chris, I got a question for you. This is Derek. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Hope you are.
Yeah, doing good, doing good. So, you know, you look at the stat line, you see 7 of 10 for Max, you know, but that doesn't necessarily indicate how many passes are called. Are they moving him around, or is he, you know, are they calling dropbacks and he's scrambling, or what's that look like? Are they trying to throw the ball down the field and he's just not seeing it and scrambling, or is it more of a, you know, like a run heavy option attack with them back there?
Yeah, it was Max there, you know, the passes that he didn't complete, he was rolling out. I don't think that, I can't remember, but I don't think we attempted, you know, a deep pass in any quadrant of the field. You know, it was all kind of get the ball out of his hands quick. I think the game plan was to run the football. Yeah. And then, you know, in that second half, once they recovered that fumble and punched it in and they went up, I think everybody in the house knew that TC just, you know, they didn't have the offensive firepower. So, you know, they were content to run the ball, you know, midway through the third quarter and all in the fourth quarter. So I really don't think that we've seen, you know, what that Reynolds offense is capable of from a passing perspective yet.
Sure. And creativity wise too. I mean, only a week or 2 weeks in with Max back there, I've told these guys before, I think the creative possibilities are endless with him back there. You can do a lot of fun things with a guy.
He can do a lot of stuff. Yeah, and you know, I think I alluded to Pat on the air. There was one pass where Max rolled out hit one of our receivers on the sideline where the receiver was able to toe tap and get in. And I don't care if it was Eli or Max or anybody, any past quarterback in rounds, that ball couldn't have been thrown any more accurately. So, you know, Max did show some promise. It wasn't like, you take an athlete of his caliber and put him back there, and he's going to be able to make some throws. I I think making the throws might not be an issue. I think that's reps. I think seeing the field and when he's got to sit back there and maybe drop back and go through a progression and actually, you know, find some receivers when the primary isn't open, that's where we're really going to see, you know, come playoff time, come when the games matter and we're in some tight ball games, you know, see if he's going to be able to do that.
So, Chris, this week with Pat being on his private yacht with the servants, you know, Reynolds got a big game this week versus Asheville. Who do you pick and what do you think that game's going to look like?
Well, you know, hey, I said I was Pat when I called in. I've got to pick Reynolds, man. If they were playing the Dallas Cowboys, I'd have to pick the Rockets, you know, if I'm playing Pat's role here. But, you know, I don't know. I've not watched a lot of high school football this year. I don't know what Asheville's got. I know, I believe, TC, now, have they played yet?
TC and Asheville have not played yet.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, I think the Asheville game, it's Asheville. I think, you know, you can kind of throw things out the window when Reynolds and Asheville get together. But honestly, when I was talking with Pat after this game, I'm kind of really looking forward to that Irwin game. I think that's going to be the game that that decides what's going to happen, you know, further on down the road this year.
So you don't think Asheville has a chance?
I didn't say they didn't have a chance. See, I mean, when it's that, man, they got that hook and ladder in their arsenal. They beat us a lot before late, so you know, you never really know. But I don't know. You guys can probably, you know, talk to that better than I can. You guys are in this every week and everything. But I don't see Asheville being any better than, from what I've heard, than TC. So I'm not saying that we can't lose that game, but. Irwin, I'm just saying Irwin scares me a little bit more from you know, they beat TC. I think that was a close game. Man, when you got number five in the backfield, and, you know, one thing that the Rockets showed is they weren't multidimensional. Tyvon Patterson, you know, is a legitimate running back behind Max, and he showed that he's perfectly capable of being, you know, RB1. And toting the football where defenses aren't going to be able to just solely say, hey, five ain't going to beat me. You know, they're going to have to respect 12 back there.
And he was the running back last year while Max was hurt. Is that correct?
Yes.
So, I mean, everybody out there, you heard it here. You heard it here. Chris St. Ange says this is an unlosable game for Reynolds.
You know, and Chris, it's your favorite. Chris, your favorite host on the podcast here. I don't even need
What's up, man?
I don't even need to introduce myself, but we'll off air. We'll talk about, we're planning another hair strip soon. would love for you to be a part
cool.
of it.
As the driver.
Yep, I'll play my designated driver part for sure. I'm happy to do that.
I got a question. So you were a part of the, you had a pretty good view of when Rico was play quarterback. You know, is there any resemblances? You know, did it look like, did that, you know, what the Reynolds coaching staff went through during that year, do you think that helped prepare them for this situation with Max being a quarterback?
Oh, absolutely. I think it made, I don't know if you're prepared for that, but I think it certainly gave them some confidence and saying, hey, we've been here, we've done this before, we're going to put our best athlete back there, and he's going to touch the ball every play, and we can do a lot of things. You know, nothing against Max Guest, man. He is a super athlete. You know, Rico's the starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys. So,
he is an NFL running back, yes.
So he's an NFL.
I mean, I know he was sick last night. He didn't get to play, and it was disappointing. But, you know, Max is a phenomenal athlete, and I definitely think there's some comfort with the coaches saying we've been here and we've done that. They've done this before, but if we remember how that season ended, too, Rico ended up with a cramp. On a fourth down play at the goal line, and you know, we didn't have a lot of other options there. So
we had a fantastic, you know, option.
We're definitely going to have to you know, keep Max healthy. You know, and that's the thing to me. It's like, you know, if what happens, you know, if Max gets hurt, and then, you know, what's our backup there? So we got to stay healthy. You know, we're obviously not deep, losing Eli there at the quarterback position. So. I think the coaches feel good, obviously, about where they are. And
it doesn't seem like you guys have lost much.
No.
Do you think the offense is better now than it was 3 weeks ago?
Is the offense more dangerous, Chris?
So I've talked to a couple parents and stuff like that, and again, I'm not there, so this is going by what they say. This isn't necessarily me, but there seems to be more of a a team concept. There seems to be more cohesiveness, more unity in this offense than there was.
So one thing we talked about earlier, Chris, going into that, Reynolds Irwin game. Irwin's playing McDowell, and then they're playing North Buncombe. Whereas Reynolds is playing TC, Asheville, and then Irwin. I mean, is that slight advantage for Irwin?
No, I think it's the exact opposite.
Really,
Chris is a football guy.
Keeps us sharp and everything, and doesn't kind of lull us to sleep and give us a sense of complacency and stuff. I think playing good competition definitely keeps you sharper, for those big games at the end of the season.
We really want to thank Chris St. Ange for calling in tonight, co-host of the Rocket Live Stream. Chris, who's calling the game with you this week with Pat on his yacht this week?
I believe Travis Clayton's going to be on the call. I haven't even talked to him. I didn't even know Pat wasn't going to be here, really, or at least didn't connect the dots until he was walking out and said, "You and Travis in a film next week." And so I've got to get with Travis and see who's doing play-by-play, who's doing color, what we're going to do. And we may just not even figure it out and just figure it out that night, man, and just see what happens.
It's not unlike Pat to not communicate, so. Chris, thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Chris. But I mean, if you need Mike and I, we can be there.
We'll be there. No, I have a playoff game at home. All right, Chris.
Sounds good. Appreciate you guys. You guys do a great job.
Thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Love you, Chris.
All right, man. See you.
So, firsthand accounts of the Reynolds TC game there.
Yeah.
It sounded like a preview for the Reynolds.
Chris said, Asheville's no big deal. Irwin is the real deal. And
talk about a look ahead.
That's kind of what I've been saying.
But, I mean, he also said Irwin might not have a chance because they're playing some weak opponents.
Listen, Irwin's going to take it to Reynolds, just so you know.
Two bye weeks, like, that's such a football Reynolds thing to say. It's like, no, it's actually at their disadvantage.
They're healthy and they're ready
to go.
They're
healthy, rested.
That's like when it's pouring the rain, and the offensive guy's like, no, offense has the advantage. We know where we're going. No, I mean, I get that. But
that's the case.
It's pissing the rain, and I don't want to throw the ball in the driving rain. But
I mean, you've been at these games, like he said, anything could happen.
Yeah, anything.
Like Reynolds has won with 8 yards of offense before.
Yeah, it's happened. It's happened.
Mm. Mm. So, last week's game, let's talk about the standings real quick. What do you think?
Let's do it.
So, with the MAC, Irwin, they're in first, guys. When was the last time Irwin's first in the conference? Do you know, Derek?
Probably when the Browns were there.
Was it like late 90s?
Well, no, probably like 2012, 2011-ish.
Irwin's 6-1, 3-0 in the conference. Reynolds 4-3, 3-0 in the conference. Asheville 4-1 overall, 2-0 in the conference. TC 3-3. I got bad news, Lewis. They're 1-2 in the conference. They're not winning.
They're not going to win the conference.
Nope.
It happens.
It's over.
Inca, North Buncombe, McDowell, no wins in the conference.
That's rough.
So for the Mountain 7, West Henderson taking the lead this week. They're 6-2 overall, 4-0 in the conference. Pisgah, they're 3-1 in the conference. Franklin 3-1. Smoky Mountain 2-1. Tuscola 1-3. North Henderson 1-3. East Henderson 0-5. So there's your conference standings. What do you think, guys? You want to talk about our rankings next?
Yeah, let's do the rankings. But can we just skip the ACT because they really don't matter?
They're terrible.
Yeah,
they're terrible. They totally took
waste of a segment.
Okay, so let's talk about the high school overtime 8-2-8 rankings. They cover a little bit bigger region than we do. Number 1 Hickory, number 2 Watauga, 3 Mount Heritage, 4 Irwin. No changes there.
Mm-hmm.
5, Asheville School, they're up 1. Asheville High is at 6, up 2. Reynolds is at 7, up 2. Brevard at 8. West Henderson at 9, they're up 6. And Franklin drops 5 spots at number 10 this week.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully November 22nd, we get a real test to the Asheville School. Because that to me is the only glaring thing that I would change about it. I don't know how you guys feel.
I have it starred on my sheet. It's just... That is the one. That's the ugly duckling that doesn't belong in the group to me. No offense to Asheville School there, but the type of schedule and the type of players that they have to play week in and week out, it's not comparable to anything for the other 9 that are on this list.
Yeah,
listen, I agree. And when they lose on the 22nd,
that's right.
Maybe they'll replace Christ School with them.
Maybe so.
So that's what we got. Next up, we have Derek's Dirty Dozen, top 10. And
yeah.
I'm just saying from some feedback, a lot of people love this segment.
Good.
This is my favorite segment.
Yeah. So we had a committee meeting this morning. You know, it's a committee of one. So the only mind.
I was
going
to say you and your old lady.
Yeah, the only mind that matters. It's a committee of one. And we have a new entrance into the top 10 of Derek's Dirty Dozen, top 10 of the week at number 10. You know, they fell out last week, but a big win by them in the last 2 weeks. I got Pisgah coming in there at number 10 at 6-2. Just ahead of them, another team coming off a win. You know, they played Owen. But they took care of business. And they have a huge test in front of them this week for all the marbles. I got Mitchell at number 9. They're going to be playing Mountain Heritage on Saturday in Bakersville. It's going to be a hell of a time. And, you know, if I didn't have something going on this weekend, I would definitely venture up there to go check that one out.
Mountain Heritage only like a 35-point favorite.
Well, yes, but I really think that Mitchell has a chance to at least hang in there and make it a game. You know, in Mitchell, it could be. But, you know, that's why they play. At number 8, you know, I've got the ugly duckling, like I just said. You know, they are 4-1. They did kind of hang in there with the Mountain View Prep Stars, who have a couple of Division I talents on their team. I've got Asheville School at number 8.
They will not lose another game this year until November 26th.
That's right. And thankfully, that's after, you know, they win a state championship in this lower level of private school where they only have to win 2 games to win a state championship. But that's neither here nor there. That's another soapbox for another day. Just above them at number 7, I've got Franklin. A close loss to West Henderson, who is the surprise team, which is ironic that they're even a surprise team.
Are they the surprise team? They're the two-year defending conference champions.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. You know, we probably shouldn't have written them off as early as – or at least I shouldn't have written them off as early as I did after they lost to Murphy. Murphy, a great ball club down there. But I've got Franklin at number 7 at 6-1. They dropped 2 spots for me. At number 6, I've got Brevard at 5-2. You know, huge win for them opening up the season again at Pisgah. You know, one of the most impressive wins in Western North Carolina. Brevard rises 1 spot above Franklin at number 6 at 5-2. At number 5, you know, the leader in the Mountain 7, I've got West Henderson at 6-2. Huge win for them in the pit. You know, like we talked about earlier, they've won, you know, 4 straight one possession games, played in 6 straight one possession games, and they're finally, you know, finding a way to win those close ones. So I got West Henderson at number 5. Number 4, no change in my top 4 this week. I've got Asheville at 4-1. You know, kind of waiting to see what happens this week. The MAC will shake itself out, and so will the Derek's Dirty Dozen top 10 of the week. That will shake itself out. I've got Asheville at 4-1. And number 4, Reynolds, you know, the best 4-3 team in the state. They're sitting there at number 3 at 4-3. Number 2, Irwin, 6-1. You know, taking care of business, beating the teams they're supposed to beat by as much as they're supposed to be beating them by. And it's going to come down to the last game of the season for them, whether or not they win the league for the first time in a long time. And at number 1, you know, like we've talked about all year, Mountain Heritage, they're the real deal. Joey Robinson does a great job up there. They're undefeated and sitting there at 6-0, only undefeated team in West North Carolina. I got Mountain Heritage at number 1. And that is Derek's Dirty Dozen top 10 of the week.
Very nice. So when Asheville beats Reynolds, will they just move up 1 spot?
You know, that's for the committee to decide at a later date. You know, I don't want to speak for anything.
There is one question. Like, you call it a Dirty Dozen?
Yeah.
Why is there only a top 10?
Well, that's part of the stick.
Okay. Yeah, that's okay. The stick.
All right. I've just been wondering.
Yeah, but I do have a nerd nugget for you, you know.
Let's give it to us.
My nerd nugget of the week. Who do you guys think is the top team in Western North Carolina in the ones that we cover? You know, going back to the high school OT 828, I think their top 4 is fantastic. The top 4 that they have, Hickory, Watauga, Mountain Heritage, and Irwin, I think I would have those guys in that exact order going into this week. But nerd nugget of the week, of the teams that we cover, who has the top RPI according to Max Preps? Mike?
Irwin.
Lewis?
Watauga.
Carson?
I'm going to go with Mountain Heritage.
You're all wrong. Coming in at number 40 in the entire state of North Carolina is Asheville School. which
they have the top RBI.
They are ranked number 40. And let's see, Mountain Heritage is 46. Reynolds is the closest to Asheville School. They are 43. So,
okay.
We've said before, you know, all this will get settled on
is that because the 22nd. Is that because there's like 300 kids go there or what?
I don't know.
Asheville School doesn't play a great schedule and they win their games.
Sure, but
they win their games.
No, and they beat the piss out of people.
And they win state championships.
They beat the piss out of people.
The formula includes number of students.
I don't think this is the entire state ranking.
No, I thought it
includes margin of victory up to 28 or 35.
And Asheville beats the hell out of people.
And so that inflates their RPI dramatically, you know, as opposed to, you know, a Reynolds who is playing these good schools and losing close games or winning close games.
What was the thing in the was it like free lunches or something? You remember what I'm talking about?
No, you're thinking of ADM.
That's how they calculate whether you're 4A, 3A, 2A.
And that's going away as well.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And that's gone. Well,
Lewis is dazed and confused, but we're back. I'm fully aware of how the spread works. I've not been fully aware this year.
When you climb the leaderboards, talk to me, okay?
So we were talking about the TC Reynolds game.
Yeah.
What a game. I mean, that's a rivalry from back.
It's a big deal.
I just love the T-shirts where it's like beat TC, all that. I was super pumped at halftime. It was what?
10-3.
Yeah, 10-3 game.
Roberson.
I'm like, let's go.
Unfortunately, the Reynolds coaching staff made all the right decisions.
Correct.
That's correct.
And he pushed all the right buttons.
I think I texted in the group and I said, God, Lewis got us on two of these. And then we ended up covering on the two.
I was so excited. Yeah.
So that's going to be my strategy moving forward is just speak it into existence.
Carson, you want to cover our player of the week. Who is that?
So we talked about him a little bit, but Cade Young with the huge game against Franklin. 26 of 36 for 328 yards, 3 TDs and an interception, leading West Henderson. You know, if they handle business, this was a conference championship for the Mountain Seven. So so Cade had a fantastic game in probably on the road, which Derek said no one could go into the pit.
That's what he said.
I never heard of the pit until Derek said that, actually.
You know, used to in the pit, they would light fires behind the visiting stands. So it was just smoke just billowing out of the visiting stands.
Well, Cade Young brought his own fire.
He brought the smoke, boys.
So he brought the smoke. So shout out to Cade, but no, that's awesome.
That's the most points that Franklin's given up all year.
Wow.
31.
Yep. So, and through the air. I mean, I think a lot of people would have thought, you know, you see Wes Henderson gets 31 points. It's like, okay, so Zane, they probably had 3 or 4 rushing touchdowns. You know, they went through the air. So Cade was our player of the week this week.
3-2-1.
So let's talk about this week's game. We're going to start off with Owen at Rosman. First time all year, Owen a favorite, 17.5 points. Rosman's only scored 13 total points in their last 6 games. Lewis, what do you think about this one?
I think Owen's going to go out, put a 40-piece on him, and Owen's going to take this game no problem. This is when we see everything click. I love playing Rosman. Hate everything they've been through this year, a couple different things, but really hopeful we get this win.
You're hopeful you get the win. You're 17.5 point favorites. Are we going to cover?
Are you going to cover?
We're going to put 40 on him. Yes, we're going to cover.
Okay.
Carson, so, what do you think?
Owen is covering this week.
Derek?
I'm riding. Give me Owen.
Pat also taking Owen.
Come on, Mike.
I'm going to take Owen as well. Owen. Owen covers 17.5. Oh, man. So next up, we have Tuscola. They're 4-4, 1-3 in the conference. They're taking on North Henderson, who's 3-4, 1-3 in the conference. North Henderson is 1-1 in their last 2, while Tuscola has lost 3 straight. In those 3, they've lost 25-18, so they've been in the game. This is for 5th in the Mountain 7. Carson, what are you thinking here?
So with I'm going to go with Tuscola covering. I thought I was going last, Mike.
No. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, we talked about it last week. Tuscola had a streak where they were covering, and then I picked them to cover last week.
They
and
got me.
They screwed us. But
three times in a row, I missed the Tuscola.
I'm gonna ride with them. You know, I'm on. They're my ride or die. I picked them early in the year to win the league. Obviously, that's backfired. But I like Tuscola with the getting 16.5 on the road at North Henderson.
Pat's also taking Tuscola. I also think Tuscola covers here. I think they win. I think they win right outright. I
don't Mike's think they just dog
I think
the
they
week.
Win. Lewis?
I'm going to have to pick Tuscola as well. I mean, they've had some tough games leading up to this, and they've done well in these games. So I think they're going to handle North no problem.
All right.
No problem. I like that.
Do we all pick Tuscola?
What did Patrick have?
Tuscola.
Everybody wow. picked Tuscola.
So, okay, first two games, we're all chalk.
Nice. Perfect for the sheet. We got Smoky Mountain, 4-3 overall, 2-1 in the conference, taking on West. West, 6-2, 4-0. West is a 10.5-point favorite. They've won four in a row. They beat Franklin last week. This is a trap game for West Henderson? I don't know. Smoky Mountain has also won two in a row, and they rush for over 200 yards a game. Derek, what you think?
Yeah, Smoky, a gritty team. You know, they seem to always find a way to be in the game late, but not this week. West Henderson got too much for him. I like West Henderson to cover the 10.5.
Pat also taking West Henderson. I'm also taking West Henderson. I think they cover. They beat Smoky Mountain, and they ride off into the sunset as the Mountain 7 conference champions.
I mean, there's no argument there. West is definitely going to cover this and win. I mean, somebody eventually has to pick a different team.
Carson, go ahead. You need to pick some up.
I'm not going against my boys. At West Henderson.
Wait.
I thought that was
Asheville. These are your boys now? How many boys you got?
No,
normally you pick against them.
Jay Young is my boy. So I'm gonna go with West Henderson here.
That's three straight games.
Yeah, that's
boys.
Three in a row.
This is not shaping up well for the teams that we've picked.
This is not good.
So next up we have Mount Heritage at Mitchell. Mitchell, they're not predicted to win, Lewis. Mount Heritage is a 32.5-point favorite. Derek, what are you thinking here?
This is going to be a tough one for me. You know, I kind of waffled back and forth on it for a while. But, you know, Mitchell on the rise, you know, doing the things they're supposed to be doing. I think they keep it within, you know, a few scores early. But I like Mitchell to cover the 32.5.
Pat and I are both taking Mount Heritage. We think Mount Heritage comes out, handles business. Listen, they've been the number one team in Western North Carolina for weeks and weeks and weeks. And that's not going to change this week. They'll be fired up to come out and win this week.
After watching Mitchell this week, I'm definitely taking Mountain Heritage.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They were not that good.
Okay.
What was the score? Carson, what do you think?
Mitchell, for sure. If Lewis, the football guru, says that there's no chance Mitchell, I'm going, Mitchell's covering.
Wait, do you know who the true football guru is?
Listen, when the real football guru speaks, unlike Carson, when Derek says that Franklin's going to win, I mean, undoubtedly they're going to do it.
Did Franklin win?
No,
they did not.
That's okay. That's okay.
I was just wondering.
We're going to ride together. You know, I talked a lot of trash to Carson about, you know, me and Carson being on the pick sheet together. This is where me and Carson turn it around. We're getting this one right.
Thank you, Derek.
All right. So next up we have McDowell, 1-6 overall, 0-3 in the conference against Inca, 3-3, 0-2 in the conference. McDowell's lost their last three by an average score of 59-17. They beat Avery on 9-12, 49-21. Inca beat Avery last week 34-0. Boys, I'm taking Inca to win this game. This is a pick 'em.
That's something you don't hear a lot.
No spread, I know, right? I'm picking Inca to win this one. Pat is taking McDowell.
Ooh.
Mm.
He's giving up his hometown.
Wow.
He is. Listen, no loyalty to Inca. He transferred all his kids out of there. What do you think, Lewis?
I'm gonna have to pick Inca on this one. I think Inca's faced enough competition. They're gonna be pull this out over McDowell.
McDowell's faced, I think, the same competition, so I'm gonna go with McDowell.
Oh,
interesting. Right. I will break the tie, and I'm gonna go Inca to win. I think Inca out athletes McDowell. Not often you can say that about Inca, but this week it rings true.
I'm glad Derek picked Inca and Carson picked McDowell. I feel better about my pick.
100%.
Out athlete them. Okay. I've never heard that about Inca football before, so
it's happening.
That'll be a treat to see.
So next up, we have Irwin at North Buncombe. Irwin, a 48.5-point favorite. They haven't lost since week two. They won five in a row. And in conference, the average score is 48-16. Mm. North Buncombe in conference, average score 3-61. They gave up 67 last week to Asheville.
Hold on a second.
That's their average?
That in conference, yes. Their average.
That's the average in conference.
Holy smokes. Holy smokes. Okay.
Lewis, are you taking Irwin to win by more than 48.5?
100%. Just based off of you.
100%.
Everything you said, Irwin's definitely going to handle this game.
So Pat is taking Irwin as well. Carson?
I'm taking Irwin as well. I mean, Irwin may get to 70 points.
That's going to be another clip. It's like a 15-14 right. game.
Derek, what do you think?
I like Irwin to win big. You know, as many as they want, that's what they'll get.
Irwin definitely more high-powered offense than Asheville.
Come on, Mike.
Irwin destroys them.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, there's no way you're breaking.
Irwin's my team.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, true. Coach Pruitt would not text Mike if Mike picked North Buncombe to cover on Friday.
So next up we have Pisgah, 6-2, 3-1 overall against Franklin. Franklin 6-1, 3-1. Franklin a 14.5-point favorite. They had their first loss last week. Franklin gave up the most points they have all year to Wes Henderson at 31. Pisgah's 4-1 in their last five. They're only giving up 13 points a game in the last three games. Lewis, what are you thinking here?
I'm picking Franklin.
Franklin?
Yep.
Derek is a Franklin guy. Are you taking Franklin here?
Not anymore.
What? You can't jump off the ship at one game?
I jumped. You know, I talked about how tough the Pit was to play in, and they let me down.
I really appreciate you picking them. Yeah. Because now I'm going to get that game back.
You are 100%. This is going to be entirely my fault that I'm going to lose the lead here. But I've got Pisgah covering the 14.5. I think Aaron Clark has a big game. Pisgah could win outright.
Pat tanks Franklin. I'm going to take West. I mean Pisgah. I would take Pisgah.
I would take West too.
Yes. I got that one right last week, Carson, along with you.
Yes,
I'm going to take Pisgah. I think. If they don't win, they at least cover. This is going to be a close ball game. I think Pisgah picks up the cover.
Yeah, I got Pisgah as well. I think West almost demoralized the Pit and the smoke and the fire and everything that Franklin had. So I think Pisgah comes in, and I think Pisgah, be on the lookout for the double, what is it, the double-digit dog, Derek,
yeah, of the week. Yeah, Derek's dog of the week. Yep.
Probably. So. Nobody wants to be Derek's dog of the week.
How many times can you say Pisgah?
Mike, who did Pat pick?
Pat picked
Franklin. Okay, cool.
All right, next up we have, this is an intriguing game right here.
This is a really intriguing game.
TC at Robbinsville. Mm-hmm. TC. 3-3, 1-2 in the conference, taking on Robbinsville. Having a little bit of an off year. They're 4-5 overall, 3-1 in the conference. Robbinsville has won three of their last four. They're led by quarterback Bryce Adams, 99 yards a game, 9 touchdowns, but he also has 9 interceptions on the year. He only completes 50% of his passes. He also rushes for 36 yards a game, and running back Cooper Adams and Roman Jones are averaging 68 yards a game, and they have 16 touchdowns combined. TC's lost two in a row. Are their conference championship dreams gone, Lewis?
They are gone.
They are gone.
They have Asheville next week, and they're playing at Robbinsville, which we have established is very hard.
Very hard, and they give up 21.5 points.
So Pat is taking Robbinsville. I am also taking Robbinsville. I don't think TC rolls in there and wins. Carson, what do you think?
I'm going with Robbinsville as well.
Lewis?
I'm going to have to go TC. I think TC covers this.
You thought that last week as well.
You've thought that for about 8 weeks.
That's
in okay. A row.
That's all right. They're going to do it this week.
I was very curious to hear Lewis's thoughts on this game.
Because I like both teams.
Yeah, these are two of Lewis's favorite teams.
Two favorites. He loves Robbinsville.
Loves them.
I think Lewis likes these two teams more than Owen.
That is not true. That's far off.
Do you think their quarterback Bryce Adams is related to Cutler?
I would say there's a pretty safe bet that
in Robbinsville.
They also have a running back named Cooper Adams.
In Robbinsville, they're all related.
Do you know how these mountain cities work?
I don't know.
Almost everybody's related.
All right.
As two Andersons sit across the table
that are not related.
That are quote unquote not related.
I really think we are related because we come from the same place just so far long ago.
You never know. But my pick, I got to go Robbinsville. I think they cover the 21.5 in the Big Oaks.
I think so too.
That's two I pick up on you. Thank you.
So next up, we have a playoff game. Week one of the playoffs for the NCISAA. Charlotte Latin at 8-2, 1-2 in the conference, is traveling up here to Arden to play Christ School, who is 2-4, 1-1. How would you feel if you're Charlotte Latin, you're 8-2, and you have to go on the road for your first playoff game?
That'd be tough.
I would be pissed.
Yeah.
Yes. So they have a similar opponent. Charlotte Latin lost to Providence Day last week, 52-7. Christ School lost 55-7. Charlotte Latin beat Metro Atlanta 30-29, where we beat them last week handily. They also beat Mitchell 28-14. Charlotte Latin throws for 201 yards a game. They have 21 touchdowns on the year to 6 interceptions, and they rush it for 110 yards a game, and they have 13 TDs. They score 30 a game while giving up 22. Christ School, a 3.5-point favorite. Guys, I'm taking Christ School, and so is Pat. Derek?
Give me the greenies, baby. I love it. Give me a playoff atmosphere, and I like the greenies.
The winner of this game is fortunate enough to get to play Raven Gap.
Good for them. Let's hope
this Friday is everything we could dream of.
Yeah, and then Christ School, you know, they get their win against Asheville School, the annual win against Asheville School at the end of the year.
Yeah, for sure. So. 16, 17, was it?
Asheville School going to be coming off a state championship. Christ will not play for 2 weeks. Do you think both teams are motivated to play that game?
I think yes, so. Absolutely. It's literally called the game.
It's the most important game. It's more important than this playoff game because it's like you've already said. You just said it. Christ School, if they win, they're playing Raven Gap. They're not winning that game. Their Christ School state championship
will be beating Asheville.
Asheville School's. 100%. Asheville School knows they're winning a state championship. Their state championship is also beating Christ School. So that will be the game of the year.
So who are you taking in the Charlotte Latin Christ School game?
So, Lewis, you pick first.
Oh, no. He asked you.
He was pointing at you, and you were asking him. One of you guys has to pick.
One of us has to pick.
Rochambeau?
Yep.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Ooh, rock, scissors, paper, both.
Scissors, shoot.
Rock, paper, both.
Scissors, shoot. All right.
Carson, rock over scissors. Interesting choice by Lewis to go scissors there.
Let's go, Lewis. Who do you got?
So what do you think, Lewis?
Who you got, big guy?
I'm going to go with Christ School as well.
Wow. Okay. So if I'm there pulling for Christ School, if I'm tailgating wearing a Christ School shirt, am I allowed to pick the other team?
I don't know. Well, you haven't showed up for a couple of weeks, so I'm not sure.
I've missed one game.
It's been 5 weeks since you've been there.
I have been there more than any other person. That's
because you don't have a kid
besides playing. Your wife, correct?
I would say that's true.
Okay. And I'm going to go with the Greenies, an absolute beatdown. Jackson Cancel is going to run the ball down Charlotte Latin's throat. They're going to be speaking English after the game.
Oh, Carson, that's hilarious. I think you're right. I hope you guys didn't just jinx us, but I think Christ School wins this game, and they got to play Raven Gap next week. So next up, we have one more game. So Chris Anange already said this is not a big game.
No.
Reynolds is going to take the win.
He actually said it was impossible for Asheville to win.
So Asheville 4-1.
Very unlikely is what he said.
Asheville 4-1, 2-0 in the conference. Reynolds 4-3, 3-0 in the conference. Both these teams undefeated in conference. Reynolds is a 10.5-point favorite. In conference, Reynolds has scored a total of 131 points, to giving up 16. That's an average of 44.5. Asheville's won 3 in a row, and in conference, they've scored 123 while giving up 14. That's 61.5-7. The last conference loss to Reynolds was to Asheville in 2021, 6-5. Is this the next loss for Reynolds in conference? Does Asheville win this game? Lewis?
Well, I mean, Pat, he actually called in for this, and this is what he had to say.
I was actually going to have to pick against ACR for the first time.
So just for the Pat did Big Reynolds.
He did Big Reynolds, yeah.
What do you think, Lewis? Do you think Asheville wins this game? Do you think they cover? What do you think? 10.5 is a lot in a game.
That's a lot, and there's no. I think that is so far fetched. ACR 10.5, no problem.
What, you think they win by more than 10.5?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Holy smokes!
Wow. I'm going the other way. So okay. I think
you normally do.
I think Reynolds. I think Asheville is a very good football team. I'm not sure Asheville doesn't win this game outright, but they at least cover. I'm going with my boys at Asheville. I know Carson is not a big Asheville fan like he used to be.
Right.
I'm going with Asheville. Derek?
Yeah, all the respect in the world to what Asheville's got going on. You know, they're a great football team. But I think the Division I athlete playing quarterback and Max Guest, I think he's obviously the difference. I like Reynolds covering the 10.5 at home. I think they win by 14 to 17, somewhere in that range. You know, probably tight like it was against Robertson early, if not maybe behind a little bit. But they won't panic, and I like Reynolds by 14.
The thing about them, at halftime, it might be a close game. They always make the dang adjustment.
Well, I can speak from experience. Whenever you give out score predictions, that's going to be a clip next week. So
it will be.
So, Derek, that will be a clip. Asheville is going to be into this game. I think Asheville has a chance to win. It's all going to come down to, can Meek make the throws? You know, it's very clear Reynolds is going to try and attempt to stop the run. They're going to see if Meek can beat them.
Meek was 8-9 last week for 280 yards.
Talk about some confidence. And I didn't think that, you know, I picked North Buncombe. So I'm going to pick Asheville here. I think Asheville, if this is not the time to beat Reynolds, I don't know when is. This is one of the best opportunities they'll have had. I've got Asheville covering. I've got Asheville winning this football game.
Listen, this is probably a 14-10 ball game either way. So I think Asheville covers.
Yeah, it's very low scoring. I don't see either team just running away with it.
Derek, do you see a high scoring game?
You know, I really don't. I think it's going to be like a 21-7. Type deal probably.
So Derek says blowout Reynolds. Go ahead.
Yeah, potentially.
I'm just saying there's a reason me and you are at the top of the leaderboard.
There is. And, you know, I really think that Reynolds defense, they're going to play a lot of one high safety, you know, make Meek beat them with off platform throws. They're going to try and flush him out of the pocket. And if he can make those off platform throws to receivers down the field, Then they've got a problem on their hands. You know, obviously the Reynolds back end is not necessarily their strength. You know, they lost the Montgomery kid to Audrey Kell after the hurricane hit. But I really think that the pressure that they're going to be able to get on Meek is the difference. And I like Reynolds to get ahead, control the ball, control the clock. And I like Reynolds like in a 21-7, 21-10 type game.
Do you think the crowd shows up for this game?
I hope so. You know, we were kind of talking off air about, you know, crowds in Western North Carolina in general post-COVID, and you've seen a lot of the attendance at these games down. But I think Asheville-Reynolds is one of those games where if you like high school football, this is a game that you go to, no matter whether you have an allegiance to them or not, or even if you have any type of allegiance to one of those schools, this is the game that's circled on your calendar at the beginning of football season that you go to every Friday night.
Is next week's game against Irwin the better game, or is this the better game?
I think the game against Irwin is the better game, but will be the more attended game. Now, that's not to say that Irwin doesn't show up, because nobody loves Irwin football more than Irwin fans. I mean,
where are they playing at next week?
I think it's Irwin.
It's at Irwin.
Yeah. Oh, so it's going to be filled.
It is, and, you know, you get there at 5:30 for a 7 o'clock kick, and there's blankets everywhere at Irwin. They're already, you know, claiming their spots. So two back-to-back big games for ACR. I like them to cover this week. Like I said before, I think they just got too much on offense for the Cougars.
We'll see. That's gonna be a fantastic game.
It is.
I will say we talked about Eli leaving Reynolds. He was 6 of 14 for 52 yards and 5 of 9 for 45 yards in the last two games at Crest.
I hope Virginia's happy.
I think they're playing some type of two quarterback system down there.
They are indeed.
I think the kid that's been there for a while is playing well.
Sounds like they're doing more of a 1.5 quarterback system. Yeah, I don't know if that classifies as a two quarterback.
Yeah, and I never liked running the two quarterback system. You know, you see it I mean, we kind of did.
Well, they say if you have two, you don't have one.
Well, that is what they say. That is the old adage. But, you know, I hope things turn around for him. Maybe they do next year whenever he's the full-time starter.
All right. That's our games for this week. Carson, do you have a fun question for us?
So, you know, it's not really a fun question. I know what Derek's answer is going to be, but, you know, when you talk about a Mount Rushmore of things, like who's your Mount Rushmore? I want to hear your motivating coach. You have one coach to win a game. Who do you guys pick to win that game? And it can be any sport. It can be anything. We're doing a round the table draft of coaches, all time coaches.
Okay, Derek, do you want to start since we already know who it is?
Well, I mean, I really don't think that Nick Saban is a master motivator. I think he is.
I absolutely do.
I think he is a weak. Like, if you're wanting rah-rah guy, Nick Saban is not a rah-rah guy. You know, I'm a big Alabama homer, big Nick Saban homer. But I think if you want a rah-rah guy that's going to just be nothing but pump your guys up and try and give, like, epic pregame speeches and stuff like that, he's not the one that you go play for. The one that I like now is going to be Dan Lanning at Oregon. I think I wouldn't necessarily call him a rah-rah guy, but that dude motivates his guys and gets them going. I really like Dan Lanning.
So, listen, I'm a same boat here as Derek. Bobby Cox, not a rah-rah guy, but a player's coach. And his team's won. They played fantastically. They stayed healthy. Bobby Cox from the Braves is my guy. But, listen, Dabo Swinney, He can give a speech and get them pumped up. I know Derek loves Clemson.
Before the transfer portal.
Yes, before the transfer
portal. There is no bigger rah-rah guy in the country than Dabo Swinney.
There you go. What I just said.
He is an eyewash guy.
Makes me want to just vomit over here talking about him. And he's an Alabama grad, too, but good God.
Lewis, what do you think?
I mean, I still think the best coach in the world is Coach Ford. He's the best motivator out there. He made more with nothing. I love Derek's eye roll right there.
Listen, he used to put the green jerseys on the hitting dummies and stuff, right?
Absolutely. I mean, he is the best motivator to get something out of nothing of ever coach out there.
Listen, and still had a losing record against Reynolds.
That's okay.
Carson?
So I'm going to go with you know, you guys turned into a motivating thing. I'm like, one game you've got to win. I don't think there's another option than Bill Belichick. I'm going to go with Bill Belichick just to go in, and he's got more Super Bowls than any other NFL franchise.
You going to go get a massage with him?
That's his own sure.
Well, he does date the 27-year-old. But
so does Carson.
Here nor there.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with old Billy Boy.
Not a terrible pick.
No, I mean it's not. I'm not a Patriots fan, but I do think that he did a lot with not a lot. He could win in any system, and he's got a lot of Super Bowls to prove for it.
No, I agree with that.
Who do you think Pat would pick?
I can tell you who.
Shane Laws.
Shane Laws.
I've forgotten more than Shane Laws has ever known.
Oh, you're probably right.
So,
all right. Well, listen, we appreciate everybody joining in. Lewis, Carson, Derek, I appreciate y'all showing up. I know Pat wasn't that important to him, but I appreciate y'all showing up. We had a great time, and we look forward to talking to everybody next week.
Just like his daughter.